Anyway, Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I may just have to quit fighting this. They kill themselves. Anyway, Matthew 28. I'll start verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, we all know why it was 11, because number 12 done gone and hanged himself, Judas, went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, Mount of Olives. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Said, well, why did they doubt? You would have too, probably. This is all brand new to them. They're in shock. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that word world is ionios and means age. Anyway, as we look at this, this is what is called the Great Commission. And many people use this as their launching pad for whatever work they're doing. They say that's where they're getting their authority. Y'all just don't know what kind of noises I've got going in my head. Anyway, the other side sound like a horn blowing. Not asking for sympathy, just toleration. That's all. Tolerate me, that's all. Anyway, this is the Great Commission to his kind of churches. And this first church in Jerusalem is his first church. And all other churches, if they're true churches, they ultimately stem from this one. And they all have the same authority, for the commission. So, let's just reiterate some of these truths. I do this real heavy when I get in the trail of blood, but it needs to be preached, and it doesn't, like Brother Brown said about idolatry, we need to be reminded often because we soon forget, because our flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and our flesh wants to worship gods that you can see, that you can hold. That's what the flesh wants. Idolatry is natural to the flesh. That's why there's so much of it. But it must be God who does a work of grace in you and teaches you that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And just that right there, I'll labor on that for a minute. He told the woman at the well, Samaritan woman at the well, John 4. He said, God is spirit. The definite article A appears in the English, but it doesn't even exist in the Greek. Literally, what he said was, not that God is a spirit, God is spirit. There's your indicator as to how to translate that, interpret that verse. And in order to worship God, we must worship Him in spirit. That doesn't mean whooping and hollering. That means that we can't worship Him with physical places or statues or idolatry. We must worship Him in spirit, and the only way that'll work if it's in truth. And His word is the truth. That's the only way. And other than that, there is no worship of God. So, Jesus came in verse 18 and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The word power, there's not a Greek scholar in the world that can deny what I'm saying. Not that I'm a Greek scholar. I know a little bit. It's exousios. That is not the word for explosive power. There is a word for that in the Greek, dunamis. That's the word where we get dynamite. Well, that lets you know if you're talking about dunamis power, you're talking about explosive power, energy. Well, 99% of all preachers that I've ever heard interpret that verse as if it's dunamis. Oh, Jesus has all power. Well, He does, but that's not what's taught there. Well, what's wrong with teaching that there? Because you're not teaching what's there. Amen. People say, well, God could create the world in a heartbeat if He wanted to. What's wrong with saying that? Because that's not what God said. Amen. We must say what God says. We can't rewrite the scriptures. We can't adjust God. Oh, God, here's what you meant to say. Had an old boy here, I called on him to pray. Hadn't been here long. And he had prayed and he said, in other words, Lord, I'm saying, explaining to the Lord what he's saying. In other words, Lord, I don't know, he's dead now. Anyway, so all power, that is authority power. We use the word. If somebody gets past going and they have to surrender their legal power to someone else, then they give them the power of attorney. It's not explosive power. That's authority power. You better be careful who you do that to. I'll tell you what, I hate to see it. See them people get old and they give their son or daughter that power of authority, and buddy, they lose everything then. You better make sure you can't handle your own stuff before you ever give up your power of attorney. Anyway, because I guarantee you they won't do it like you want it done. Anyway, all authority is given unto me, now look at this, in heaven and in earth. Now, legal authority is what he's talking about. And notice this has to do with the church. And when he talks about John the Baptist's baptism, he's talking about authority. They rejected the baptism, the authority of John, John's baptism, being not baptized of him. Anyway, it's all about authority. When you talk about church and baptism, ordinances, you're talking about authority. Not many people talk about that. They don't want to be known that there is authority in the Lord's work.
Amen.
And if the authority is not there, the work is not there. Anyway, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, we don't have any problem knowing how authority was granted, given unto Jesus in heaven. God the Father granted.
Amen.
Well, we can see such things as when he walked 60 miles over rough terrain to get to John the Baptist to be baptized by John the Baptist. John didn't even understand it. He said, I'm not even worthy to untie your shoelaces. I have need to be baptized with you. Oh, no. Jesus said, thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness, which would be the conference of God, the council of God.
Amen.
The purpose of God. So Jesus said, I have come all this way. If it was just a matter of the physical act of immersing someone, anybody's got good legs and arms could stand there and do that. Couldn't they?
Yes.
Doesn't take much when you get in shape. I am, it does. But if the normal guy, doesn't take anything to do that. Not a major deal. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He said, there's only one man that has authority on earth to baptize. And the first chapter of John said there was a man sent from God. And it was John the Baptist. And that's exactly who Jesus, through rough terrain, walked over 60 miles. It may be even a little further than that. Depends on where Jesus was to get to Bethabara. Bethabara is right north of the Dead Sea, and at the southernmost point of Galilee would be about 60 miles. If it's anywhere up there, it could be more than that. But a walk of 60 plus miles over rough ground, I wouldn't choose to do that, would you? When someone up there could have easily done the work, but there wasn't anybody up there that could do the work. The only place on the whole face of the earth was someone to do that work was at Bethabara on the Jordan River, baptizing John the Baptist. So, what did Jesus receive when he was baptized by John? Where am I? Hold your place there and look back at Matthew 3. Look at verse 13 of chapter 3 of Matthew. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. I think that's a hina purpose clause there in the Greek. In order to be baptized of him. That's what he came there for. But John forbade him, said, oh, no, no, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? John's being very humble there. Ignorantly humble, but he's being humble there. And Jesus answering said unto him, allow it, suffer is allow. Allow it to be so now, for thus, or this way, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. That's the righteousness of God. And then he suffered him. That means he did what Jesus asked him to do. He baptized him. He didn't sprinkle him. He didn't pour him. He immersed him. That's what baptism is. Now look at this. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. He was in water, enough water to be immersed in. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. What a spectacle. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. That wasn't a dove, but it was like a dove. I guess it looked like it had wings. I don't know. And lighting upon him, upon the Lord Jesus. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My, my. Huh. Well, that pleased God. Why? Because they fulfilled all righteousness. So here's my proposition. Jesus got his authority from heaven, from God. Jesus got his authority from earth, from John the Baptist baptizing him with the only authorized baptism there ever was or ever will be. And I'm sorry to tell you that the majority of commentators, Beverly's been dealing with some of this, and she's been looking at it. She was just absolutely flabbergasted. She couldn't find any of these truths in any of those commentaries because they don't write, they don't teach them. They say all kinds of things, like the only reason Jesus was baptized by John was to be identified with sinners. I haven't read anything like that, have you? We've just gone over this in detail. We haven't seen anything near that. This thing is on a much higher plane than that. Jesus didn't need to be identified with us. He's already identified us with us. He's a kinsman redeemer. And baptism doesn't identify you with sinners. When someone's baptized, they're in the same pattern as Jesus was. They're baptized in order to fulfill the righteousness of God and to show forth the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Secondly, your death, your burial, and your resurrection to walk in newness of life. Romans the 6th chapter. Very much about that. So now, I wish every now and then you go to a conference, especially if it's a mission conference, and somebody will get on this text. But they never will explain that verse. It needs to be explained. That's not general power. They teach that as though it's generally true. No, it's talking specifics. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, he's got authority from God in heaven. He's got authority from John the Baptist with his baptism. Therefore, he says, you all go. He says that to the 11, to the members. The first members of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. He says, now, as old Paul Kirkman used to say, when you see therefore in the scriptures, see what it's there for. He says, go ye, go y'all, therefore. Therefore, yeah, because all authority is given unto Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I'm taking my authority and surrendering it to you. The church does not have his authority. But we have the commission to go in his authority. That's what it says. You all go, therefore. Because I have all authority in heaven and earth, you all go, therefore. And then it says, teach all nations. People say, oh, well, that means make a disciple. Well, not necessarily. You may use it in that vein or that context, but that's not really what it says. Teaching is what it says. Let's see, how did I read that? Go you all therefore and teach. Okay, that's what it says. How about that? I hit on it. It says teach. The ministry of the Lord's church is first and foremost to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And I see them playing games. Some of these sermons I see absolutely frost me. I know the church and I know the people, and they don't need anything. They need basic teaching. And they're not getting it. They need teaching like what you all are getting right now. Amen. Well, go you all therefore and teach all nations. Well, we can't teach all nations. Richmond Road Baptist Church cannot teach all nations. But we can teach everyone we have the opportunity to. And that's what we're obligated to do, is to go open every door that we can. And I think we do that. You look at the reviews on all that we get, and we got Tim's out now, Brother Campbell's out, and then these panel things and all that was, I'm not the only one getting out here. But our church is responsible for feeding a whole lot of people. Say, well, it doesn't show in your attendance. I can't help that. It's not my job to give the end product. It's God that gives the increase. But he says our job is to teach all nations, and we're doing a pretty good job of it with the instruments that we've got. We've been, I mean, Brother Campbell's helped with a lot, and some of the others have helped with a lot, and we're getting out, brother. I mean, we're not doing much here. Oh, we're doing a lot. Absolutely. And going to keep on. Say, when you going to quit? When they carry me out feet first. Now, watch that foot. I broke that toe last Monday. But I don't want them carrying me out by that toe. But anyway, if I quit hurting myself, I'll be in good shape. I can't hardly stop it. And then secondly, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, we'll do it in the name of Jesus only. What do you do about that? Of course, those people do that in the name of Jesus only. They couldn't baptize, but they did baptize right for me. They don't have the authority. They don't have the doctrine. They can't do it. That's only a sound church can do that. Amen. Baptizing in the name of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then next, thirdly, teaching them. We're back on teaching. Yes. To observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Now, a lot of these fellows right now are saying, oh, we're not under law, we're under grace. Oh, you don't need to be teaching that law. Really? Who you think you are telling us we don't need to be teaching what God said? Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Did you ever read the Sermon on the Mount? Did Jesus say anything about the law of God in the Sermon on the Mount to his church? Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Well, of course he did. Did he ever say anything to the rich young ruler? He said, you know the commandments. Huh? He said a lot about the law. Paul said, I wouldn't have known covetousness. Except the law said, and so on. Anyway, so, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And that has to include the Ten Commandments. I don't know how these smart-aleck preachers get full of that junk, and it's junk they're full of. They need to let the writings of men go and get back in the Word of God. There's nothing you can read in the Bible that would cause you to discard the Ten Commandments. You say, well, we're not saved by that. No, and neither was anybody else all the way back to Mount Sinai. That's not new truth. Nobody's ever been saved by keeping the law because they've never kept the law. And the law wasn't given to save them. It was given to be a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. But once you're saved, you can only be saved if you know what sin is. And sin is the transgression of the law. I don't need Dr. Halljaws to straighten me out on that. I'm pretty straight on that. Anyway, and lo would be thusly, I am with you always, and that word for always would be by days. See, well, yeah, they can believe that Jesus is with his church always, but now the church died out during the Dark Ages. Every Protestant church, true Baptists are not Protestant. I'm talking about Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Methodist, Campbellite, Church of God, all of the Protestant churches, they all are built on the lie that the true church of Jesus Christ died out during the Dark Ages, and Martin Luther had to come along and start the church again in the 16th century. No, he didn't start the church again. He never did start the Lord's church. Never did come all the way out from the Catholic Church. Just started these other churches, and they never did have the truth. Never did have the authority. The only church in existence that has authority is the kind of church that Jesus built. The same kind that he gave this commission to on the Mount of Olives. Now, even unto the end of the age. You're not talking about the end of the world here. Oh, we're looking for the end of the world. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. The end of the age. That's what it is. And at the end of the age, it will usher in another age. And that'll be the millennial age. That'll be when Satan's chained and bound, and all of the other attendant deals will go on. And then Jesus Christ will, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and it'll split in two, and there the law shall go forth from out of Zion. David will sit in the throne of David, and that will be the 1,000-year literal reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. And that's the age. And then after that age, then we'll see the heaven and earth shall pass away with a great noise. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth come down from God. Anyway, so that'll be the next age. But this age, when this age comes to an end, it's going to come to an end with people being cast into hell after the judgment seat. So on, then all that, and then we get into the next stage. All right, so teaching to observe is our job. Many churches have failed to teach. And I see how these preachers are preaching, and I say, no wonder. Do you assume, does a pastor assume that his congregation knows everything? They do, but they shouldn't. They shouldn't. When I came to this church, soon be 53 years ago. Why, I'd heard tales from the former pastor. I kind of expected every person sitting in the pew had his Greek Testament. That's what I expected. Well, I taught that. Now, what he meant was he mentioned it. You mention it, that ain't teaching it. Anyway, I came to find out they didn't know much of anything. He thought they knew everything, and they knew not much of anything. I'll tell you what, when they questioned me about coming to this church, of course, men got together in a room. It wasn't before the church. It should have been. But men got together, and they questioned me. They didn't even know what to ask me, brother. They did not know what to ask me. I had to tell them what to ask me. I'm not a liar. I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, we are to teach the all things. I wanted to kind of give you this for the all things here just a minute. We're in Matthew now. Let's look at Acts, the 6th chapter. I don't know if any of them still alive that was supposedly questioning me, but I'd face them with that because they know the truth of it. Acts, the 6th chapter. This is when the church at Jerusalem, of course, after the day of Pentecost, and they had elected deacons to take care of serving the tables, not running the church. And as a result of that, verse 6, the Lord blessed that move. When they sat before the apostles, when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased by ordaining deacons. That was obviously a point of the Lord that he was blessing. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Well, if you remember, the qualifications of a deacon were that a deacon must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. I have to say those deacons were faithful witnesses of the faith. Amen. Because that's how the Lord blessed. And they were increased. So, they were obedient to the faith. Well, we've got several references here, about 7 or 8 references to the faith. What is the faith? The faith is that which was once delivered to the saints, Jude says. And so what is the faith? It is the body of doctrine that was given to the apostles at the beginning. That's all Jesus taught. Now look at verse 8 there. And Stephen, one of the deacons, preaching deacons, so you can see what he was out doing, and I expect the rest of them were doing things very similar. He was full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now he was full of faith, but now that's different from the faith. He was full of faith in the Lord. Amen. Working. The faith is different from that. Now, not that it doesn't include that kind of faith. It does. But the faith is the whole pale of doctrine that was delivered to the apostles. And how was it delivered? By direct revelation from Jesus Christ as he conducted his peripatetic school. Walking around school. Peri is around, patetic, patty, the pity patter of little feet, walking around. That's where they got the faith, was directly from the Lord by personal and direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You say, well, how did Paul get it? Same way, exact same way, and about the same amount of time. How long was Paul in the Arabian desert after God saved him and he got into Damascus? 3 years. About the same amount of time. And who was Paul's teacher? The same one that taught the other apostles. That's why in Galatians Paul says, I didn't get my gospel from men. I got it by direct revelation from God. Therefore, I don't have to take a back seat to any man because I've got it directly from the Lord by direct revelation. So, the faith, the doctrine, the theology, and that's what we are to be teaching. Now, we can't give it all to everybody every time we speak, but there has to be systematic efforts by these churches that are true churches to teach the faith, the whole counsel of the Word of God. And that's why we must go through the Word of God. We don't need to have teachers that can't use the Bible. So we'll have quarterlies and Sunday school material. Well, lots of people do that. Here's what I've found out in churches that have those. They get a Sunday school. They got all the students. They get it graded, got classes. And then they go looking for teachers. Am I right? So here comes somebody, just been saved, newly come into the church. The Sunday school superintendent says, sister or brother, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. Do you love the Lord? Sure, I love the Lord. Would you like to serve the Lord? Yes, I'm all ears. I want to serve the Lord. Well, I need somebody to teach this group of girls over here. I need somebody to teach this group of boys over here. Oh, I'm not qualified to do that now. I need to be learning myself. Oh, well, brother. Oh, well, sister. Don't you love the Lord? Yes. Don't you want to serve the Lord? Yes. Well, don't turn me down on this. I've got to have a teacher here and a teacher here. You all have got to do this. You've got to. And don't worry about it. Here's this quarterly you'll give to the student. And here's this teacher's quarterly that'll tell you all about it. And you just follow this and you'll be all right. And that's how I'm going to say above 90% of them go. You've been out. You know that's true. Well, then what you're doing, whoever wrote those Sunday school quarterlies and teacher's book, they're the ones teaching your class. And then you look at those things, and pretty soon you see that those teachers get off of their Bible lesson and get into following the program of the denomination. If it's Southern Baptist, it's cooperative program. If it's Independent Baptist, it's their program. And all their program, and the next thing you know, all you're doing is you're carrying on with the onslaught of the denomination, not teaching the Bible. And then you'll see that those lessons. When you get to December, you'll all be on the birth of Christ. When you get to April, March or April, it'll all be on Easter. Somehow it works out that way. It's impossible, absolutely impossible for you to go from Genesis through the Bible and be there at those times of year. Can't happen. And so that's what happens. So then the church is not taught at all. So that's what I'm saying. Churches have failed in that. Many of them have. We must teach all things, and that all things is the faith, including the obedience to the Lord Jesus. Obedience in His church. Now, in our world today, we've got all kinds of sidetracks, diversions, to get people's mind off the Lord and off the scriptures. This happens and this happens. We got to do this, got to do that. Let me tell you this, just basically. The Lord loved His church and died for it. His assembly. And that means His assembly wherever they're meeting. If it's a true assembly, whatever size it is, there's His assembly. And He loves His church. If you're a member of that church, you have already agreed before the Lord to follow Him. And you know what? And I understand sickness and all that. It's not me that understands. It must be the Lord. But anyway, His day comes up 52 times a year. And we must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth every Lord's day. Now, sometimes things happen, and I understand that. But sometimes people just lay away, and call it they love the Lord, but it doesn't happen. That's not true. Anyway, obedience to the Lord Jesus, obedience in His church, obedience to His ordinances. Now, whenever we baptize somebody, that's church business. Whenever we take the Lord's Supper, that's church business, and every member needs to be here. The Lord's business is witnessing. Are we doing that? Now, we can't be responsible for the results. We're not. Early on, I went out when I was starting out. And I went out with a preacher or two. And I swore I'd never do that again. They got people, and they got them down and said, "Give me a confession right now." And they'd get them. But they weren't confessions from the Lord.
Amen.
No. So anyway, we need to do the proper kind of witnessing. We need to make sure that we declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it. Personal obedience. I'll do this and quit. Look at Matthew 5. Verse 17, Jesus says to the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. And that's who's here. And of course, all 12 of them are here. He says in verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law." All these antinomians need to read that. "Or the prophets, I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He didn't say to abrogate, he said to fulfill. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So what ought we to teach? Whatsoever he's commanded us. All right, let's stand.